Ephesians chapter number 3. Today being December the 5th, 2021, we are on lesson number 6 in our series entitled Identity, Life in Christ, all from the book of Ephesians. Today's lesson is entitled Mystery Revealed. Mystery Revealed. Ephesians chapter number 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. Our theme verses today. I love these verses. These verses are the ones that God used to speak to my heart about preaching the Word of God. And man, I was reading my Bible. I had not been saved about a year, close to a year. And I was reading my Bible one day, and God spoke to my heart about these verses. And I had gone to take my ASVAB test to join the Air Force, and they wouldn't let me go and take it because I was a year too young to take the ASVAB without a parent's signature. And I knew that they would not give me the approval to do that. And so I told the guy, I said, I'll be back next year. And he said, okay, I'll be waiting for you. I found his card a couple months ago in some of the stuff I was unpacking where we moved. And I found his card and the little book and everything there, the information about it. And I thought, man, I need to call him sometime. Just let him know why I never joined. But I don't even know. He wouldn't remember me now almost 40-some years later. But these verses spoke to my heart. God used these to speak to my heart. And Paul wrote here in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Man, God got to deal with my heart about that. And I said, God, I don't want to be a preacher. There's no money in preaching. You know, I was going to join the Air Force and, man, be self-sufficient. You know, eventually one day be in the NASA program. I always thought about that little, the I Dream a Genie thing and all these other things, you know. And that's before I got married, you know. But I thought, you know what? Man, I just want to be dependent. I didn't want to have to trust and depend on anybody for anything. And God said, I'm going to fix it so you got to depend on me. And let me tell you something. I would rather trust God to take care of my needs than the bank account any day. Amen? He supplies my every need. And you know, there was a great mystery in the Old Testament scriptures, a mystery that was not made known unto the Old Testament prophets. There was a great mystery there that God had hidden. But when Jesus Christ came into the world, He revealed that mystery. He revealed the secret. And this is what the lesson is about today. I love a good mystery. I love to sit down and watch a mystery movie or something like that, trying to figure things out with it and things like that. Maybe a mystery novel or something like that, trying to figure things out. I end up going to the end of the thing and reading it and then figuring out, you know, the rest of it, where I need to go. But God had a mystery, and that mystery is revealed here in this passage of Scripture. Now, last week, there in Ephesians chapter 2, we saw how that the Apostle Paul reminded both the Jews and the Gentiles how that Jesus Christ is our peace. And this is what he said. He said, He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, For through him we both, talking about Jew and Gentile, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now he talked about how that the Gentiles now were brought in to the precious promise of God for eternal life, everlasting salvation. And you know what? God wanted each of us. And I'm so glad that God did that. Amen? I'm glad that I didn't have to be a Jewish person in order just to be saved. You know, the Jews thought, boy, we're God's chosen people. There's nobody like us, and there is nobody like them. That's for sure. Okay? If you want to know that the Bible is true, if anybody ever tells you the Bible is false, there's nothing true about the Word of God, you know, God has nothing to do with this world, you tell them you can sum it all up in one word to prove that the Bible is real. And when they look at you and they say, what one word would you say to me that could prove that the Bible is true? You tell them, the Jew. The Jew. Everything we see throughout the Word of God deals with God's chosen people. And how God one day is going to establish a kingdom. And you know what? All Israel is going to be exactly where they ought to be. And all the fighting and everything we see going on in our world today over in the Middle East area, it's all about the Jew. Yes. Boy, the devil does not want them to have what God has promised unto them. But you know, to know that God, he didn't just love the Jewish people, but he had a plan for them. God's plan for the Jew was for the Jews to take the message of the gospel to all the world. God was going to use them for that. And yet they chose to reject Christ. They said, what do we do with this Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on our children. And boy, that has surely been the situation, has it not? But you know what? God said, I still want all the world to know. And all the world included you and me, the Gentile crowd. Us, what the Jews call the Gentile dogs, okay? But thank God for the crumbs that fell from the master's table, amen? Oh, thank God for that day. And today, Paul is talking to them about this great mystery that is revealed. Now, I want you to look at it here with me today in Ephesians chapter 3. What a lesson this is going to be. Now, I want you to look at it. I want you to see the preface to the mystery this morning. All right, look at it with me this morning. The reception of the ministry, of the mystery. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, Paul writes here, he said, for this cause, now the cause he's talking about was as we read in chapters 1 and 2, God gave the Gentiles access to salvation. And Paul had to suffer for that. If you go back and read in some of the scriptures, you'll see back in the book of Acts where Paul was persecuted greatly for trying to take the message of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentiles, to all the rest of the world. And Paul said, because now I'm in prison, I've been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And he says to them here in this letter, chapter 3, he said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Now, chapter 2 is where he's talking about that. And he gave them the Word of God, showing them that God loved them just like he loved the Jews. He cared for them just like he cared for the Jews. And you know what? If I had been somebody, and I was as a 15-year-old boy, that was looking for somebody to just love them, to care for them, to make them feel special about something, man, it made me feel special that God would love me. And it must have made these folks feel special as well. And so Paul writes here, he said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, Paul wasn't writing to them to gain their sympathy, okay? He wasn't writing to them to gain their sympathy, but he had received great persecution from the Jews for preaching the gospel. Many Jews came to know Christ as their Savior, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up trouble everywhere they went. And they even tried to stop Paul from preaching the gospel to those Gentile dogs and giving them the word of God as well. So Paul had a lot of suffering he had to do. And if somebody had suffered such persecution, such as the Apostle Paul had, you know, just so that you and I could hear the message of the gospel, man, I would love that person deeply. Would you not? And I believe that these Ephesian believers, they loved the Apostle Paul because he showed them, he took the time to show them how that Christ loved them. We had folks that came for the food distribution just a few weeks ago. We had the cards. As a matter of fact, I've got one here in my Bible here. We had these cards that we gave to the folks and we asked them to fill out. And on the cards, we had several things down at the bottom of it. Check all that apply. One, I'd like a visit. Two, I'd like to know more about the church. Three, I'd like to know more about being a Christian. Four, I'd like to hear about the next free grocery event. Or number five, I'd like to hear more about future events and activities of this church. Okay? I had to throw the grocery event in there, okay? I had to do that, all right? So we got a stack of these cards, I bet probably that thick. And folks filled them out, and we were out visiting with these. And this one checked the box specifically. We'd like to know more about being a Christian. So Trish and Wendy, I think y'all went out there Thursday night, and they were able to lead both the husband and the wife to Christ. And you know what? It brought joy to their hearts because somebody came and told them about Jesus. It brought joy to these two soul-winning women, you know, to know that they could take the message that somebody had brought to them and they could share that with somebody. And can you imagine the joy that these folks, these Gentiles, must have been feeling to know that God didn't just love a certain group of people, but He loved everybody. Amen? From the uttermost to the guttermost, He loved us all. And Paul preached to them these things. And then he talked about how that the mystery had been received, but then he shows about the revelation of the mystery here, stating in verse number 3, how that by revelation be known unto me the mystery, as I afore, wrote afore in few words. He showed unto them in verse 4 that he had already written in somewhat of a smaller degree, telling them about how that God had revealed these things to him and wanted him to take the gospel to the world. But I want you to turn back one chapter to chapter number 2. Now, we looked at this the other week. And Paul wrote to them and he said, wherefore, remember. And again, folks, that's where you and I need to be today. We need to live in a state of remembrance. Remembering what Christ did for us. Never forget what Christ did for us. Listen, Brother Mike is in here today. And he's usually out here doing security and trying to scare the bad guys off and all this other stuff, okay? And yesterday, he and Brother Sam and Brother Troy Fenton and some others were out there. The boys were out there. And I think Trish came out and Ashley came out. And they've been trying to get this thing set up for this live nativity. Now, he's got a crazy schedule. He's got a crazy schedule. I think you've been in New York, driving back and forth to New York. That's probably 8 hours just driving or more. And then they come out here and work on stuff like this on the weeks that they've got time to do that. You know what? They don't do it because they got to. They're sure not doing it because I'm paying them, because I don't have anything to pay them. But you know what? They do it because they remember what Christ did for them. Amen. Amen. You know what? Every aspect of the ministry that we do, whether it's in the choir, whether you are changing atomic bombs in the nursery, okay, or whatever you're doing, we do that because we remember what Christ did for us. And Paul reminded them here in chapter 2, verses 11, he said, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," they lived in the lust of the flesh. They lived in the desires of this old worldly way of living. They were Gentiles. They were rejected by everybody else. They were Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time, ye were without Christ. Think about that, folks. They were without Christ, just as you and I were without Christ. Look what else he said. He said, being aliens. Aliens. You say, "Preacher, you believe in aliens?" Yeah, I've seen some. Yeah, we met some doozies around here sometimes. But we were all aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Okay? Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, I love that. But now, things are different. Amen? Amen? Things are different now. Brother Chuck was telling me the other week about remembering things he did before he got saved and how ashamed he was of some of the things that he did before he got saved. But Chuck, the words are, but now. Amen? Amen. But now. And you know what? Each of us could stand back and look at what our lives were like before we got saved, that we stand so ashamed and so embarrassed. But the blood of Jesus covers it all, folks. Amen? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Listen, Christ did this for us. He is the mystery revealed today. And this new relationship between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers, it not only brought peace between those two rival groups, so to speak, but it also helped both groups to understand the depths of God's love for all the world. You think about it today. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It wasn't for just a certain few. Thank God for that. It wasn't for just a certain race. Thank God for that. It wasn't for just a certain group that had a certain amount of money or certain religious affiliations and things like that. But it was for all the world. God had a plan for all the world to see. Amen? Amen? And God's plan was to enlighten the hearts and lives of people to see that there is hope today. There is peace, but it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at part C. We're going to see here a review of the definition of a mystery. A definition. In verse 5, Paul reviews here what this word is really all talking about. And I want you to see what he's saying here. First of all, this mystery, it revealed those things. Look at what he said in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. The Old Testament Jews, they knew about the Messiah's coming. But they saw that for their benefit and no one else's. They did not see that the kingdom would include all kingdoms, all nations, all tongues, all kindred. When you read in the book of Revelation and you read about all the people who are saved, yes, multitudes upon multitudes all around this world have heard the gospel and been born again. But there are multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes that have still never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. So it meant that those things were revealed because in the ages past they had not yet been revealed to the Jewish people. Look at this. Number two, it meant that this type of biblical mystery could only be revealed unto men by divine revelation from God. And look what he wrote. He said, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Who revealed these things? Did they sit in a trance somewhere out on the side of the mountain and a bird drop an acorn on their head and they suddenly understand it? No. The Spirit of God, he came. He gave them this revelation. And look at the third thing. It's revealed, this mystery, it revealed the importance of God's Word that we now have in the completed canon of Scriptures within the New Testament there. We've got both the Old that said, he's coming, and now we've got the New Testament Scriptures that says, he came, and this is what he did, and this is what he wants to do with you, and this is what he's going to do in the future. The Word of God made all the difference. And that's why Paul wrote how that these things had now been revealed. And he wanted that to be made known to these dear people. Look at the content. Remember now, during the New Testament or the New Covenant period, okay, God's desire was to reveal to all the world, everywhere, to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, both Jew or Gentile, that Christ's church would be made up entirely of those who are Jews as well as those who are Gentiles, and they had been united in Christ as one. They came together as one. As a husband and wife, the two are made to be one. So it is today when we trust Christ as our Savior, no matter where we may be. Again, I think about all these different folks I've gotten to meet from around the world. The same God that saved them over in China or in Lebanon or in Egypt or in Africa or in some of the islands where we've been, the same God that brought conviction of sin to their hearts and saved their souls is the same God that saves folks right here in Westminster or in Hanover or wherever else you may be from. The same God. And he brings us all together as one body in Christ. Isn't that great? We all have a different form and function, okay? We all have a different thing that we do. But you know what? We function together as a family, as one body in Christ. Notice here that now no one would be excluded from the gospel. Aren't you glad about that today? Amen? Aren't you glad that just the intellectual ones would not get to be the ones that get to go to heaven? Amen? Listen, everybody would benefit from the gospel. Now, God himself gave his divine approval for the message of the gospel to be taken to all people everywhere. Everywhere. You remember that the Spirit of God spoke to the disciples, to the apostles, and told them when they were going to go into a certain parts of the world, into different areas of the world, God said, no, that's not where I want you to go right now. I want you to go here, give it to the Jews, make sure they know. And you know what? They rejected that. They rejected the responsibility that God wanted to give unto them to reach the world with the gospel. And now, you know what God does? He uses the baser sort, so to speak. Those that the Jews consider to be the uncircumcision. Those that they consider to be the dogs, the trash, the cast outs. God uses the base things to confound the wise. And you know what? He uses you and he uses me. Amen. Isn't that amazing today? I just think that's just something else. I don't know. But now those who once hated one another, The Jews hated the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated the Jews. You remember the Samaritan woman there at the well? The disciples couldn't figure out why in the world was Jesus talking to that Samaritan woman at the well. She had a bad reputation, And why in the world would you be talking to them? You know what? When I think about that, I remember that little phrase, were it not for the grace of God, there I am. Had it not been for God's grace, folks, that's where you and I could be today, still lost in our sin. So what a blessing it must have been to these Ephesian believers to know that whether Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, bond or free, they could still hear the message of the gospel. But now look at verse number 6. That meant that the Gentiles now were fellow heirs with God. Look at it. First part of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, meaning that these Gentile believers were, through Christ, okay, through their new relationship in Christ, they were entitled to the same privileges as were those Jews who were in Christ as well. Just because they were Jews didn't mean they were going to go to heaven. You know, I remember talking to Andrew's mother when he first came here. And she honestly thought that everybody in America was a Christian.
That would be wonderful.
She honestly thought that. You know why she thought that? Because the world sees America as a Christian nation. They see how God blessed America. They have seen how God has done things here that's not been done in the lands in which they live. And she honestly thought that everybody here was a Christian. And I had to explain to her, no, not everybody in America is a Christian. But those who trust Christ wherever they are can become a Christian. And she was excited because a missionary from here had gone to where she was and preached the gospel. And she had heard the gospel and gotten saved. And that was why she sent her son to America for schooling. She wanted him to know Jesus. Communism, folks, is not the way that folks want to live. You talk to people in other countries that live under socialism and communism, and they don't want that. Everybody wants to come to America. Why? Because God has blessed America. But sad to say, America has chosen now to turn their back on God. And we're reaping the consequences of that decision. Even as the Jews reap the consequence of rejecting the Messiah, rejecting the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. The Bible said here that the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs. The same blessings from God for those who were saved Jews were also the same blessings that the Gentiles would receive. The same home in heaven, the same access to God through Christ Jesus. But look at this. In the second part of that, the Gentiles were also fellow members, look at it, of the same body as the Jewish believers. The Jewish believers didn't have anything over on the Gentile believers. Listen, you don't have anything over on me, and I certainly don't have anything over on you if we are born again Christians. We have the same operation. God has given us the same operation, and that is to take the gospel to the lost world. You and I have that today. Equal membership meant that they were each valuable in service to the Lord. I've met folks that said, well, I can't do anything for God. I can't do construction. I can't do this. I can't do that. But you know what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can find something to do for God. Listen, I don't care if it's folding papers and stapling candy canes to a candy cane store. Amen? You can do that. Somebody can do that. Listen, you can give out gospel tracts. Listen, every time you go to a restaurant, just go to the bathroom, okay? Go to the bathroom, leave gospel tracts in there, and wash your hands and come out. You're leaving the Word of God. I get tickled at Danny sometimes. He'll say, you went to the bathroom, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. He sees the gospel tracts, every little stall. You know? If I'm close to the ladies' restroom, I just slide one under the door. You know, slide one under the door. I don't go in. Just slide one under the door. I was at the doctor's office this week getting blood work done. So I had to take the elevator up. So I just left them laying in the elevator. When I came out from getting the blood work done, I went back to the same elevator, and those gospel tracts were gone. Amen. Now, I hope somebody didn't throw them away, but somebody took them. And you know what? You can do anything like that for Christ. You don't have to be some rocket scientist to do something great for Christ. You're of the same body, so you can serve the Lord with gladness in your heart. But look at the third part of that. Look at it. The Gentiles were fellow partakers. You say, what in the world do you mean? Look what he said. Partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now you say, what does that mean? It simply means that they had the same power of the Holy Spirit of God. They had the same communion opportunities with God as did any other believer, whether they were Jews or Gentiles. Think about that today. The same Holy Spirit of God that dwelt in Peter, that dwelt in Matthew, that dwelt in Paul, and all the other folks through the Bible scriptures that we read, that same Holy Spirit dwells within you today. He dwells within me today. He's got the same power. He hasn't run out. He's not on, you know, some kind of a break where he's got to rest a little while. He wants to use us to do something great for him. The option is whether we choose to allow him to use us or not. The option is, do we allow the Spirit of God to fill us so that there's no room for the devil's plots and schemes? My grandma used to tell me, she said, son, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Okay? And she's right. So what do? You need to fill your mind, your heart, with the things of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Listen, don't dwell on the things of this old world. Let the Spirit of God fill you. You've got the same promise. We're partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Jesus promised his disciples before he left that when the Comforter came, he would fill them, he would give them wisdom, he would give them remembrance of the things that they had been taught. The other day, I was witnessing to somebody, and I was trying to give the Word of God, and man, my mind just went blank. I don't remember what it was. Something went by, and it just distracted me and got me off track. And I thought, Lord, what in the world was I thinking when I was trying to tell this man something? And it was just like the Spirit of God said, son, just tell him this. And the scriptures just came out. I mean, they just came out. And God just filled me with his word of verses and things that I had not even thought about in a while. And it helped him to see his need to come to know Christ as his Savior. Folks, that's what God has promised. He has promised us that he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be there to help us in any situation. And we are partakers of that promise. And then look at this. Paul, he makes an amazing identification proclamation here, so to speak, in verses 7 through 9, stating how that through Jesus, he was now a minister of the gospel. I've talked to folks on Facebook, and I've seen folks when I go back down to North Carolina, they say, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm a preacher. You're a preacher? I said, yep, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I met some of the police officers that knew me down in North Carolina that we had had some dealings with, okay? And they came up to me at the funeral for my grandson's father. And they said, we heard that you were up in Maryland and you're preaching. And I said, sure am. And they said, that is great. And I gave them a gospel tract and told them, I said, now, if you don't get a chance to come up, pull up the website. Listen to our pastor. Listen to the Sunday school lessons. Listen, God did something for the Apostle Paul that he never wanted to forget. God made him something that he could not be in himself. And look what the Bible said. Note here, whereof, verses 7 through 9, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all his saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Christ. I want you to notice here Paul's attitude. His attitude. Listen, if you and I will have an attitude of gratitude, it will change the way we see things in this world. It will change the way we do things. He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And there, Paul was telling them, he said, listen, I was just an undeserving sinner. I didn't deserve anything from God. And folks, you got to remember, he had papers in his hands, documentation given to him from the religious crowd in Jerusalem to go and bind up, to put in jail, to torment and to kill anybody that named the name of Christ. And God caught him, literally. God literally knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus about the time of noonday. And brother, God put him where he needed to be, in a humbled position where he could see himself lost and on his way to a devil's hell. And Paul, I imagine, laying in the dirt, looking up, and his eyes are blinded by that great light. He can't see a thing. And he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord Jesus looks at him and says, you go into the city, and there it'll be told thee what thou must do. Can you imagine? For 3 days he's blind. He's sitting there wondering, is God going to kill me? Is God going to do away with me for all the wicked things I've done against him? This Jesus really is alive. Remember, Jesus said, when Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He found out that Jesus was alive. And buddy, he was scared to death about it. And he looks back at that now and he says, man, I was nothing. I was less than the least of all the saints. But God still gave his grace upon me. And folks, when you look at what God did for you, you'll understand God loves you today. And God has given you a job to be able to do today. Amen. Then look at the next part of verse 8. We see not only his attitude toward things, but we see his action. He said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what God did? God sent him to a group of people that before he was saved, he had nothing to do with. He didn't care for Gentiles. He thought he was somebody, he was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. You know, he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was great in the eyes of the Jews. But God did away with his greatness, and God humbled him, and he called him to preach the message of the gospel to those who may have never heard it had he not gone. Now, I want to tell you something today. If these two ladies, Thursday night, had not gone to that person, those people may have never gotten to hear a plain, clear message of the gospel. But you think about this. If those of you that came out on that Friday had not taken the day to battle the winds and the cold, okay, and you're wiping your runny nose across your sleeves and trying to pass out these food things to everybody, you know, trying to unload the truck, trying to get stuff, you know, pallets of stuff off that truck. Two trucks this time. If folks had not taken the time to do that, that lady would have never filled out a card that said, I want to know how to become a Christian. And she may have never been saved. You see, God uses the little things to do great things that people can come to know Christ as their Savior. And that is the attitude of gratitude that Paul never forgot. I never want to forget what God did for me. Why? That I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. They just opened up Longview again. This was the third or fourth time that they've shut it down, that we couldn't go in and preach. And they sent me a note this week and said, rest home's open again. You can go back up and preach. And I sent them a note right back. I said, man, I can't wait to be there. You know why? Because some of those folks that are in that rest home, they don't have family that come by to see them. They don't have anybody that seems to care. And yet, some old dumb preacher from North Carolina goes up there and just expounds to them about the love of God. And when he gives that invitation, they raise their hand and say, yeah, I'd like to know about Jesus. And they get saved. I never will forget when we started going back this year, many of those folks that had gotten saved in the prior year before COVID were not there. You know why? They got sick. They died. But I'll see them again one day because they got saved when our folks went by there. When we went and preached the gospel, they got saved. Paul said, hey, I don't want to just say that I love God. I want to prove it. And he proved it in his actions. He proved it in his actions. And then look at number four. Here you see the reason for the mystery. Number one, it was to provide a lesson. He said in verse 10, he said, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Hey, listen, God had a purpose in revealing this mystery. And that purpose was so that you and I could one day be saved. What a blessing. But then look what else it did. It was to promote boldness. Promote boldness. Look what he said. According to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Listen, Paul said, folks, I don't want you to be discouraged because of what I'm going through. I want you to be telling other folks about what Christ can do for them because I was able to tell you what Christ did for you. Folks, we need to have that attitude in our hearts today. There's a reason God did what he did for us. Let me ask you this question. He said, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Can it be said of us today that we're not fainting? Hey, listen, let's stay faithful for God. What if this Christmas Jesus came back again? What if this Christmas doesn't even get here and we're in heaven for Christmas? What a day it's going to be. And I look forward to that day, don't you? Amen. Thank God for the mystery being revealed. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for the lesson today. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless and strengthen us today through the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to have that attitude of gratitude in all that we do. And be thankful, God, for those who brought to us the message of the gospel, that we might in turn be able to take it to someone else. Bless, Lord, and if there be someone that's listening to the sound of my voice today that's never been saved, I pray, dear God, that you'll help them to come to know you before it's eternally too late. God, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.